Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Elder, my people, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Very well, thank you. How are you doing?
Fine, thanks. I'm good.
Very well. Thank you. Thank you so much for joining us. We are continuing on yesterday's, conversation, that thread. You know, we're talking about the unity in the body of Christ. And, you know, Jesus doesn't want his family to have disunity or be divided by petty squabbles and clashes of ego. In fact, Christ specifically prayed to God for his followers to be unified right before he went back to heaven. For some people, this sounds wonderful, like being part of a huge, loving family that never argues or disagrees. Others find the idea of unity stifling, feeling that conforming to some sort of group norm makes them less of themselves. Now, how does the Bible reference unity in the metaphor relating to the body of Christ?
Thank you so much. That is a very fitting. We find in 1 Corinthians 4, that entire chapter, starting from verse 4, where the Apostle Paul uses the metaphor of the body, we alluded to earlier yesterday. He says the body is made up of different parts, all playing vital roles from next vital organ. So you find that the liver is in its function, the kidneys is in their function. They are not uniform, they are diverse, but they have one purpose. And in that purpose, they are united and they work coherently. Like I said, if I am standing in front of you on a pulpit or a podium, and you see me turn my head to the right and the rest of my body go to the left, you would think it's a freak show or something. You'd be scared because that's not normal. So the body is a fitting description of the harmony that should exist in the body of Christ. As is the physical body, so should it be in the spiritual. I think we all have different talents, different dispositions, different temperaments. In fact, God gave us our individuality for a reason. None of us are required to surrender, even marriage. That when two come together, they are said to be one, but their wife is not required to surrender individuality, her personality which God gave her, and the husband also submit, become a shadow of their spouse. No, we are to be in our individuality, but if we are at the feet of Christ learning daily as we should, then we are beginning to reflect more and more of its image. There will be more harmony, more consensus, more pulling in one direction and being at loggerheads. So the body is a perfect illustration of what harmony in the body of Christ would look like. It's not uniformity. It's diversity.
Yeah, I love that. It's not uniformity. It's diversity, as you mentioned yesterday. Now, as a worldwide diverse, as you say, body of believers, is unity, therefore, even possible?
Yes, it is very, very much possible. We do serve a very wonder-working creator. It's possible in this regard that we need to look at God's word without prejudices of where we are coming from. Yes, I know our culture and all our background does influence our outlook on life. But we are told when one is in Christ, comes a new creature. So in short, when you do become a Christian, you should be aware that you've entered a new culture, a new way of life, which means that every other culture that you are part of before or practices you had prior, you need to bring the elements in that culture to the biblical standard to weigh them. Because some aspects of our culture may be at loggerheads with God's word. So I'll give an example. Here in one tribe where they have a traditional ceremony every year, annually, and at that ceremony, they may be required to do blood. Now, if I was raised in the culture, when I've now come to know the truth, come into this marvelous light. I must question such practices because I find in the Bible, I find in Genesis, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, in Acts say that you shall not eat blood, shall not consume blood, that regard. So I now realize that, oh, it does not now sit well with my new account. So if we then meet, you are from Australia, you are from Zambia, from South Africa, from Egypt, we'll meet, and then, yes, there are aspects in your culture that when you've done this background work, you realize that, oh, these are things that sit well. I've vetted this sit well with my newfound faith, and where I'm coming from, I've done the same. When we meet, there will be those differences. I'll be like the yellow flower, you're the red one, there's a white, but then we all say, we are all flowers, and God loves diversity. Let us put different. And this difference is what makes us strong, because there are ways that you can see, right, that I that may assist me in my where I am lacking in short. You bring a different aspect and strength. This takes us to the parable of the talents. Not all of us get the 5 talents. Not all of us get 2 talents. Not all of us get 1. According to their ability, according God distributes the same Spirit giving different gifts. So we should have that open-mindedness. If we are still in the school of Christ, I will not be agitated or find it strange that why do they do things this way? And let's differentiate, is this against the Bible? Is this against biblical? If not, then there is no offense. And we actually counsel to say, when you go to a place and you find a different culture from yours, as long as it's not at all with God's word, embrace it, because you're in that area where they're saying to be an offense to them. You're like, this is where they, when you're in Rome, act like the Romans do, because you are trying to show them that you're trying to be part of their society, and you're not trying to stand aloof or stand away from them, like condemning their culture. So unless it is something that, for example, you give me food that I know, say, no, my body cannot contain, maybe I'm lactose intolerant or whatever. As much as it is possible, like Paul says, determined to live at peace with all men as much as it is possible. It doesn't require sacrifice of principle or being at loggerheads with God's word. Apply yourself to say, I shall try as much as it is possible to embrace and live peaceably with all men. And this means people of different cultures.
I like that part that you're saying, that, and it's a beautiful verse, by the way, live peaceably with all men. Now, does therefore unity mean that we shall never disagree or argue? Does it mean that when we live peaceably, we shall never disagree or argue? Can there be unity among a diverse range of ideas or even beliefs?
Seeing things differently, which many would call arguing, is not something that is possible not to have. The only thing I would say is this. The guideline would be this. It is okay for us to agree or disagree without, in fact, it is okay for us to disagree, that we don't see things the same way on a particular matter. The Bible is full of that. You find servants, people who are serving God, see differently on a particular matter. But then, even then, it is okay to disagree, but it is not okay to be unpleasant or to become disagreeable. Yes, actually, that's what I wanted to say. It's okay to disagree, but don't become disagreeable. What do we mean disagreeable? Become unpleasant in tone, in demeanor, and because somebody has not seen things from a perspective, we are different. So there's going to be, in my local language, we say 2 trees that are close together cannot grow without their branches protruding. There'll be opportunity for scratching, rubbing each other the wrong way. They should then still grow, be allowed to grow, because this is what we hope is good for community or society. We should be able to have diversity. We should be able to say, no, Brother Chris, I see this matter from your light. And then I should be able to see, but why? Let me get your view. Why do you see it this way? And then from then, we can be able to see it. But if you still don't see it, be on the same page at the end of the day, I'm capable. So, you know what, bro? I think I've heard you clearly. Right now, I don't see how your view is one thing you can carry. Maybe let me skip over it. Let me take the time. But then we should be able to disagree without becoming disagreeable.
Yeah, I like that. Now, how do we then reach a global consensus on fundamental principles that may infringe on our different cultural beliefs. Should we be seeking to agree, or is it okay to agree to disagree on some points?
As much as, yes, the opportunity in terms of where there are personal, there's room for personal, I mean, opinions or diverse perspective, we should, one thing that we fight is that we have one creator, one savior, one faith. So the authority of scripture becomes central. In this case, it means that we should be able, remember we saw an example in Acts 15 when there was, it said there was a powerful, no small dispute in Jerusalem. There was a council in Jerusalem. And they were arguing about all manner of things. The new believers who were calling Gentiles were coming into the faith, and then some of the old order were telling them to say, no, they must all undergo circumcision. This is a teaching of Moses. There's no way they will just be baptized and be among us. They had that council, and from the scriptural guidance, they were able to say, no, the position now is this. Let us not burden the new convents with these unnecessary things, which were letters against us, goes on. But then, in short, they consulted God's word. We are told the Bible should be our man of counsel. When we are baffled, perplexed by life and it's happening, we should all say, brethren, let's pray over this. Let's seek the wisdom of God on how we proceed on this matter, be it dress, be it diet, be it be family life, everything. The Bible has, and even business, the Bible has got all those counsel for our education, our enlightenment, our education. But unfortunately, we put aside God's word and begin to consult our own intelligence. And there lies the root problem of the many disagreements and disputes that are on a global level right now. Mm. If we globally would say we will seek God's word and then the authority of scripture, how we are guided is how we proceed. We'll see that, yes, there may be diversity, but there will be that harmony I spoke about, like a choir. There will be some doing the soprano, the tenor, the bass, but we'll all be producing one sound and one direction.
Mm. Yeah, I like that. Now, as we come to a close of our discussion, how should we then handle, as members of the organization, disagreements in the public sphere? I've seen disagreements on social media pages. I've seen people, posting about certain things about the organization, about things that they disagree with on social media for everybody to actually see. How should we then handle disagreements, in your view, in the public sphere?
All right. This has become a big thing that's trending right now. Mm. We call each other brother and sister in the faith with everybody else we interact with, because we have one Heavenly Father. If we are a family, which I believe we are, a family, families do not wash dirty linen in public. We should be able, the same way that you talk to your malume when he's offended you won't go and put him on blast on TV. You go talk to him on one, uncle, I'm not happy with this. Mm-hmm. We are given Matthew 18 for a reason. If a brother or sister offends you, approach them. I'm not happy. I didn't feel that joke was at my cost. That thing you did, I wasn't happy. Discuss it. If you do not, you make peace with them, then it says bring in two other people and witnesses. It goes on giving counsel. What we are saying is, in practical steps, that we must be able, first of all, to distinguish between what is doctrinal and what's cultural.
Mm-hmm.
There is a difference there. Then we should elevate biblical truth above the cultural conflict. And then we should also be able to foster dialogue with love and humility. So it means that we should be able to discuss our issues, our pain points as a church and church members within the confines of our churches. We can have a global summit if we want, regional conference, whatever. Let's talk it out. Let's iron it out within, the same way as family. Which family does never fall out or have problems? Sometimes you don't see eye to eye, but we don't take these things to TV. We don't call SABC. We don't call ZNBC, here I am, to take up and broadcast this thing. We are about to iron it out. No, we discuss with love as a family. So as Adventists, we are one big church, one big family. Let's not take to social media to call out the conference president, to call out the pastor. That is not right. That's the enemy has done that.
Mm, mm.
It's an enemy encouraging us to go that route. Yes, we need to address things. Don't sweep them under the carpet, but let's not go on social media. Because you have people you're supposed to be evangelizing to. They are now watching to say, these guys are called holding a crusade, holding an effort to try and recruit us to join them. But look at the confusion that they have. They are fighting each other left, right, and center. Any sane person won't want to be part of that confusion. So let's iron our issues privately.
I like that you are saying that any sane person, so if people are looking from the outside and they're looking at that, by the time you say, bid them to follow me, they may say, no, no, thank you.
Yeah, exactly. Follow what? Confusion. They won't.
Yeah.
We become our own enemy. The gospel we were trying to promote.
We are our own saboteurs.
Exactly.
I think that's a very important point, actually. I think all of us who are listening, not only from the Adventist Church, by the way, if you are from any organization, it's very important that you withhold the image of your organization, whether you are in the banking sector. I mean, it's amazing, my elder, how people in the corporate spaces never tarnish the images of their organization. I mean, you look at people, that there are things happening in the banking sector that people may not like, but people keep quiet and uphold that,
United front.
You must
always project a united front. Even if you are fighting within, there must be a united front. When the world sees you, they should not know the issues that are happening in the background.
Interesting. My elder, I must thank you so much for coming through this afternoon. Blessings to you and have a great one. We speak to you again tomorrow, same time and same place.
All right. Thank you so much. Stay blessed.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.